Hello, my name is Taylor Clement, head of school at Kirk Day School.
And I'm Stacey Engel, director of admissions at Kirk Day School.
Well, it has been a minute since we've done a podcast, Stacey, and it's been a while. And there's kind of a few reasons it's been a minute.
It's been busy.
It's been busy.
Yeah, fun school year.
It has been a very fun school year. You're finishing your first as director of admissions.
I am.
And how has that been? No pressure since you're sitting with your boss.
I know. I've loved it. Like I said in our last podcast that I did, I've missed the classroom, but I've finagled my way in as much as I can. But I've loved this. I've loved the new vantage point that I've gotten to see of the school. And I've loved meeting new families and welcoming people into our community. And
Your favorite thing, though? Like the thing maybe that you didn't expect the most, especially having to work in the office with every kid, every parent, all the stuff that we have that kind of, I mean, the office is a little bit humorous at times. It's a little bit of like, you never know what to expect.
Yes. Yeah. I laugh every single day, usually at the expense of Jeannie Vinard.
Yes, this is true.
just because she's so funny and great. I think that I've loved everything about it. I almost don't know that I could pick one thing, but I've loved meeting all the new families that want to come to school here and walking them around and showing off what we do and then just kind of following up with them. And, you know, it's been exciting, an exciting part of my job.
Yeah.
I've loved every single bit of it, but if I had to nail down my favorite, that would probably be it.
I think the one thing that I love the most, at least about the school office, and we'll talk about some of the turnover that we've had, but is we laugh a lot.
We do laugh a lot.
There's a lot of laughter. And so I know sometimes parents are like, wow, are they working at all? The answer is yes.
Yes.
But we definitely enjoy working as a team. But, you know, part of that is we've been really blessed. But, you know, in the past 2 years, we've had three directors of communication. And I've talked about this with the board. I've been very, very open about this. The first two people really didn't work out. They were pretty terrible. See, there
so
we go.
Terrible that I cried when the last one left.
Yeah, you know? I know. So just to kind of give anybody that's listening an update, really what happened was we've been so blessed at hiring amazing people, and God has just brought us incredible people. And first it started with Mary Wynn, who became Mary Roth. And, you know, I remember her wedding happened on the COVID apocalypse, May 14th or March 14th, 2020, because she got married on St. Louis Day. And so we still keep up with Mary, clearly. But then Mary was recruited away from us, and we hated that. And then one of her dear friends, Reagan Taylor, was here, and Reagan was phenomenal. And guess what happened to Reagan? She too was recruited away from us.
Yes.
And so, you know, one of the things that I think is sweet though, is the people that have left, we still have the relationship with them and everything. And I say that just because there's a lot of maturity and health in the way that they've left. And we're really grateful for that. And they really loved working here, which is really honoring to hear and sweet for me to see kind of how our teams have evolved and changed and where we need to grow. But now we've got Amy, and Amy's been such a sweet addition to the office and brings such a different perspective as well, just being a mom of three kids in the building. But if you haven't met Amy Riggs, please do. She is a delight. And I've known Amy for years, mainly before as a parent. And she was actually a pre-kindergarten aide with Andrea Turner. But Amy's got a great skill set. And if you were at trivia night, you get to see her skills on full display.
Yep, that's right. Any email that you get or communication that you get runs through Amy's expertise. But she also, I've been so impressed with her creativity. I mean, the Mother's Day tea, she did that beautiful backdrop with the balloons and the centerpieces at the, you know, fundraiser were just adorable.
Yeah.
She's just very creative and fits that role perfectly.
Yeah. Yeah. She really does. I know, Even for one of her children's birthday party, which was Harry Potter themed, she had floating candles, and she used like this really thin fishing line, and she has that creative bent.
Yeah.
I walked in, I was like, how are these candles floating? And then, you know.
Yeah, she's so creative. That's been really fun for me to
watch. It's really fun.
Yep.
So that's a little bit, I mean, just kind of background. We've had some amazing people, but that turnover, you kind of get out of a rhythm of doing a podcast. And I think the one thing, if any of you have been listening for a while, it's been like we kind of get into a rhythm of doing podcasts, and it's something that I've actually put down, even with the board. I've shared, like, this is a goal is to do it because, A, I love doing these.
It's fun. Yeah.
It's a lot of fun, but it does take time and effort because, you know, when we do a podcast, we want it to be somewhat professional, mm-hmm. At least professional sounding.
Right.
And yeah, we're not going to be abundantly professional. But the idea being, you know, we send it and Justin DeRosa does a great job, and he, you know, he'll edit for us and then we publish it and everything. And it can be some quick turnaround, but for the most part, we like to have that and topics and things that parents want to listen to and not just us rambling.
I think it's helpful for parents, me being one, to hear your voice and to hear from people, you know, instead of just reading information in an email, which is also a great mode of communication, right. But it's right. Sometimes fun to hear kind of your heart and your voice behind different things going on in the school.
Yeah.
I love it.
And I was challenged recently that I needed to do it, and it was by somebody who lives in Texas, and they were like, you need to re-up your podcast. And so I was like, all right, I'm listening.
Yep.
So let's get in a little bit today. I would kind of what I think would be a good way for us to finish this year, especially with the podcast, is do some recap, some things that we've done this year that are really cool. And then being the month of May, we have a hive of very buzzing activity mm-hmm. every single day. And I thought it would be really great just to kind of hit the traditions that we do each and every day in the month to go there. But kind of thinking back, I would love, Stacey, if you would, talk for a minute about our biblical integration team and kind of what we've done this year with the books. I think for those parents that are listening, you may have known we've done Discipleship Habits this year. I think it's one of the sweetest, most, I don't know, familial things we have done as a school that I've loved. And I don't know, I'll let you talk about it a little bit, Stacey, but kind of talk about that calendar of events and what we've done with the discipleship habits.
Yeah, I mean, the discipleship habits have been a project that the biblical integration team, which if you don't know, is just a committee of teachers and administrators whose goal and purpose is to help facilitate exactly what it says, biblical integration into the everyday life and curriculum at Kirk Day School, because that is our most pervasive goal, is to integrate biblical worldview into our teaching, help these children grow spiritually. So this has been a couple of years of talking and processing how we can do that. So this year we rolled out the 9 discipleship habits that we are hoping will kind of become the marrow of our school, you know, just the most important value that we give the kids every single month. So there's 9 habits, 1 for each month. And this year we just simply kind of drew their hearts to the habits through administrators, myself, Taylor, Mrs. McCracken and Miss Ablin. We went into the classrooms and read beautiful stories that tied in with the discipleship habit and just talk to the children about what the discipleship habit is. Why are we talking about discipleship habits? How is that helpful for their spiritual growth? How are we bringing honor and glory to the Lord through these discipleship habits? You know, habits are things that we practice every single day, and spiritual discipline is no different. We can flex that muscle and practice these things. And so we just kind of dove in this year, and I think it was really sweet. I think we really kind of infused these habits into the life of the school. Obviously, they'll get deeper and deeper and more rooted as we move along through the years. But I think we did. We talked a lot about prayer and extending grace and creating beauty, the way that the Lord has shown us to create beauty, and caring for what we have.
Right.
Just a lot of wonderful things that as they grow and practice these habits, the goal is never to be a good person. The goal is always to bring glory to the Lord. And that's what we're hoping.
And it felt like a lot of these were not just habits that are like, oh, great, these are good moral character pieces, but it was really deepening what does it mean to be a Jesus follower.
Yes, yeah.
And I say that because I think, and I had a conversation with someone recently about this, and it was such a deep and rich conversation about how often people are unfortunately choosing Christian education for personal advancement than gospel advancement.
Right.
And if you're choosing it for gospel advancement, the personal advancements will happen. But if you're choosing it for personal advancement, the gospel advancement may not happen. And probably won't, because we're looking more inward than outward. And the idea with that was, with these discipleship habits, at least for us, is I kind of reflected back on it. We're really having our kids see what does it mean to live like Jesus and not just obey Jesus. And I know that those are one and the same. They should be. We should be always obeying Jesus. But then how does it kind of flesh out in those areas that are a little grayer for kids? Mm-hmm. What does a prayer life look like? And so we read that children's book by R.C. Sproul. What does it look like to be creation caring? And it wasn't just about recycling and doing good for the earth. The idea was, how do we really care for what God has created and how he has ordained it and the way that he's called us to subdue the earth.
Right.
And so it was a little bit deeper. And the other thing was, I'll just be honest, I got to go into classrooms. It was awesome.
Yes, I loved it. I loved. It's busy, and it's sometimes difficult for us to get, our schedule synced up so we can get into the classrooms. But that was by far hitting my two favorite things, getting into the classroom and talking about the Lord.
I had more energy with this project, I think, than I ever had. And just to be, and I'll be abundantly transparent, working through a schedule, trying to find a book and kind of doing these things that we did. And we'd have a book for the whole school each month based on this one discipleship habit. Our goal is to build kind of a library over years. But this year, kind of being year one of the real implementation, there were a lot of things that were kind of like pulling teeth for me. But then when I would go into the classroom, like, I was like, oh yeah, this is why I'm in education. And I loved it. And it was so fun from sixth grade all the way down to our youngest. It was a blast.
And it was fun for me. Just a couple of times this happened, but I got to naturally bring in a discipleship habit if I saw something in the hallway. I know the teachers were doing that all over the place. Just constantly drawing the kids' hearts back to what we were talking about that month. And it was a beautiful, beautiful thing this year that I think is going to be kind of a permanent part of Kirk Day School life going forward.
I fully agree. Yeah. And, parents, one of the end goal, what does it look like? Our goal is that these would be very replicable. Mm-hmm. And the idea being that if your kids started at 3 years old this year in our preschool program and they go all the way through sixth grade, that they have the same habits each and every year, every month of that year. And the idea isn't to inundate them and indoctrinate them in a way, but it's to really develop, as Stacy said, that muscle and that habit. Because the best way to put this is that I've shared with some of our prospective families this year. My hope is that it would be very similar to Elijah. They leave here and they even if they're at another Christian school, Westminster specifically, they're still going to be faced with hard things. They're still going to be faced with screens. They're still going to be faced with a lot of things that adolescents can bring, whether that's opinions or substance or whatever it might be, even the pressure of grades. And we want them to know the voice of Christ. We want them to know what that looks like and what they can feel. And so if you think about Elijah, he's running from Jezebel. He finds himself hiding in a cave, and the Lord says, I'm going to pass by you. There's the windstorm, there's the firestorm, and there's an earthquake. And Elijah knows, wow, those are really loud and big, but God's not there. He knew that God's voice was in the whisper. And we want our kids to have that attunement, to the voice of the Lord, to know when it's him calling. And you think about when your child says your name, as parents, we are like, oh, that's my kid's voice. Or you hear a kid laugh, you say, oh, that's my kid's laughter. We want our kids to have that exercise in them from age 3 through grade 6, each and every year. So by the time they leave here, even if they're not choosing to follow Jesus on their own, we believe as a covenant child, it is our job as believers to partner with those Christian parents to nurture, educate, and equip them to be disciples of Jesus. We want our kids to leave with these habits in mind so that they know when Jesus is speaking, even if it's at a whisper. Mm-hmm. And I think these things begin to do that, and they do it with the categories that we've decided on. I really feel that your kid opens up a news feed, and whether it's, you know, something far left, far right, or right in the middle, that they're going to be able to have a little bit more of a biblical worldview, which is in our mission statement, mm-hmm. to discern that.
That's right.
And that part excites me so much, because I feel like this is us kind of all helping lift something that's really heavy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've loved it. It's been a blessing.
Well, there's also been some really fun things that we've done this spring. Let's talk for a second about Trivia Night. That was a bit of a blast.
So fun.
If you missed it, we missed you.
Yes, we did.
But it was one of the more fun events that we've had at KDS.
Fun. Yeah, and I'm not big on like dress up things. Same. If you know me, you know me.
Stacey and I've actually, yes, we bonded years ago.
We did.
Both hate to dress up.
We do. So we both, I think, struck a good, healthy balance of how we dress.
Yes.
You looked way funnier than I did in your crazy pants. And
thank Katie Clement for that. Yes.
Yep. But it was fun. Some people were decked out, and
yes,
I loved it. It was hilarious. But yeah, overall, just the feeling of the night was good community, and the questions were fun. I'm not great at trivia. You, on the other hand, I don't know if people know this, but Mr. Clement, your good old head of school over here, is trivia king.
Yeah. No, I'm not king, but
you're pretty close.
I enjoy it.
Yeah.
But it was fun. The night was fun. Mr. Weber did a great job.
He
would tell me to call him Skip, but Mr. Weber did a great job. Mm-hmm. And I will say, you know, we raise money for the school, and the generosity to our community is always just amazing and wonderful.
Oh, unbelievable.
And we got to have a really fun time.
Yep.
And that is just for those wondering, our cadence is to be a little bit more formal every other year and to be a little more casual every other year. And this was a casual year, and it was at City Park, which is a great facility. If you haven't been to a St. Louis City game, it's an awesome sporting experience. But it was perhaps my favorite thing was seeing a professional stadium that had scripture up and around it. And Justin, to go back to him, worked really hard on getting those graphics just right. Amy did so many of those graphics. Danielle organized a great night. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, lot of fun.
There's so many of you that contributed to that. And we're really, really grateful. And it just made for a great night of community building more than anything. And so
that was
awesome.
I had a blast. Yeah, it was great.
Well, as I mentioned earlier, it is May. And it is the second week of May. Last week, we had on Thursday, first grade, fifth grade, and sixth grade off campus. Then on Friday, we had fourth grade and sixth grade off campus. Mm-hmm. Everybody's going everywhere always right now.
And I love it.
It is a very active.
Yep.
Now, May is like that. I think another thing that we can look back on, and I got to give a hat tip to Diane Ablin on this. We have done more field trips this year, maybe than ever, for sure than ever.
Well, I think that we have probably done more field trips certainly since COVID, but the in-house field trips that she
amazing.
Has brought in, I could just...
And tell us what those were. Give us some examples.
Oh, I mean, so many. We had a ventriloquist, which was awesome.
Sounds cheesy. It was great.
It was so great.
The guy
and remember,
was awesome.
You know, it's just exposure for these kids to all different types of things. And how many people get to see an awesome Christian ventriloquist? He brought a lot of his little friends. And
it was all like animals. So it wasn't like the creepy, like weird dolls.
For
those
great.
Of you that are envisioning this, maybe driving, it wasn't like the creepy thing. It was great.
It
was like little animals and stuff. And so the kids just ate it up.
And that's a talent. I mean, that is a talent.
Yeah, he sang and everything with the dolls. It was awesome.
So we had a ventriloquist. We had World Bird Sanctuary. So we had, an owl fly across our gym, and a falcon, and was there an eagle?
I wasn't there for that one.
Okay, I was there. I don't love birds, but I did go in. I can't remember if there was an eagle, but there were many unbelievable birds soaring across our gym and above the kids' heads. There was a snake. So that was super neat. Last week or week before last, we had a petting zoo. So the kids got to
cowboy critters.
Yeah, cowboy critters. They got to see a mini horse and a mini pig and a mini cow, which was so cute.
A mini cow?
A mini cow.
All right.
There was also a snake. There was a duck, a couple of ducks. So that was really neat exposure. We had St. Louis Jazz.
That was my favorite of the year.
Oh, unbelievable. Yep. So they came here. We, part of our student body went to them down in the city, which was, my husband actually went as a parent driver and came home and said, we need to get tickets and go there. You know,
it's one of the coolest things in St. Louis.
Yeah, absolutely. Very cool venue. Very cool. But we actually brought them in house for our younger students. And it was, again, just great exposure for these kids. They learned about jazz and the mechanics of what makes music jazz music. They got to count out the measures, and Mr. Clement got to stand in front of our student body and scat, if you know what that means. It's kind of an...
I did. It's on social media somewhere. You're welcome to find it on your own.
I almost blacked out because I was so nervous for you
standing up there. Yes, thank you. I was as well.
But you did great. Natural scatter over here. I'm trying to think what else has come.
Well, let me say about St. Louis Jazz as well, just for those. It's one of those things that is truly like a world-class, I guess, place in St. Louis. I mean, they have some phenomenal, phenomenal folks. But one of the things that I think is, you know, I'm in the sanctuary most Sunday mornings. I hear our piano played by Callum, who is a phenomenal musician, and I get to hear Elizabeth play. But when you had kind of the first, I don't know, maybe like two notes, this guy just banged out on the piano. You're like, oh, this is good. Like, you could just tell.
Good.
And now, granted, I will say my mom was a piano teacher for years. I grew up listening to her play. Heard a lot of bad piano playing in our house well. But the idea was, as soon as he hit, I was like, oh, this is good. And then all of a sudden the drummer, and then he had a few horns, and these guys came in, and our kids immediately had a world-class jazz performance.
Oh, and the kids were mesmerized.
They were absolutely
fully
mesmerized.
Fully locked in and loved it.
This was phenomenal.
The real deal.
Yeah. And these guys were great. And they brought in some racial, I guess, history to it as well. And it was a multiracial group that was up there. But that was great exposure for our kids of understanding some of the basis and why St. Louis, and all of that was so good for
them. It was valuable learning.
It
was not time wasted. It was not paper pencil learning, but it was great exposure to a beautiful art.
Yeah.
And so I loved that. I feel like I'm missing some, but we have really fun things in our building as well as outside of our building.
Right. Well, in May, and what I would say is those were kind of new. In May, kind of going back to that, is a very much a month of tradition at KDS.
It is, yep.
And I think when you think about kind of school, so much of school is tradition-based. And even if it's not traditional, it's tradition-based.
Yeah.
And that calendar and that structure. And that's good for kids. We believe that's good for kids. I think it's good for their own social, emotional, spiritual, and academic learning. All those things kind of coalescing with some structure, but they also need to have a lot of freedom. And I feel like May does that for us. And so let me hit just so folks know kind of what to expect. The first thing that we had is, there's some of the end of year field trips, which are great, but sixth grade just went to camp. Mm-hmm. And for those of you wondering about sixth grade camp, for most people that enjoy sleeping in a comfortable bed, it sounds like a nightmare.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be. But if you were to ask the kids and you were to ask the adults that go on it, they would say it's like the three best days of their lives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, own children. It was their favorite Kirk Day School memory.
All right, so you told me that last week, and I decided this week, so I went on the Jeff City, which we'll talk in a minute, on Friday, so I didn't get to see sixth graders when they got back on Friday. Mm-hmm. So I saw sixth grade for the first time on Monday.
Yesterday.
And I would ask them, on a scale of 1 to 10, what, like, tell me your experience, just real quick. I got more 9s and 10s than anything. I had a few 8s by more of our glass half empty folks, and I had a couple of 11s.
Wow.
As well.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
And it was so, and I was getting texts from teachers that went on it. So just the adults that went on it. Ben Porter, the senior pastor at Kirk of the Hills, his daughter is a sixth grader, so he went on it. Andrew Schoenhoff, who does our student ministry at the church and former KDS teacher, he went on it. John Spencer, who oversees family ministry at the church, went. So they were the male chaperones. And then Hannah Sabadell and Kate Terrian went as well. They just all raved about it.
Oh, I think it's a perfect mix of just spiritual you know, send off for these kids that have mm-hmm. been in our care for all these years. Some only 1 year, but they have been in our care. So I think there's just spiritual time, you know, spent together, and then just fun. Just games and community building. And I just, my children loved it. I really cannot overstate how much they loved that.
Well, and the kids, they all look forward to it, but you know, it's kind of like, we'll live up to the hype.
Right.
And then it exceeds it.
I think it does.
And that's such a cool thing to see. And next week we'll have sixth grade speeches. Mm-hmm. That's another thing that sixth graders will do. And if you're a parent and you're going, sixth grade speeches, that sounds terrible. They are some of the sweetest things, because you get to hear a kid reflect on their childhood as they're kind of leaving childhood and going into adolescence. Mm-hmm. And it's this real monumental moment. You know, you'd think graduation would be that, and graduation's more ceremonial, where sixth grade speeches is more reflective, and we get to hear that. And we get to hear a kid talk about how they struggled in kindergarten with handwriting, and, you know, Mrs. So-and-so, you know, took time to help them, or that in third grade that they came and they made a new friend, and that friend is still their best friend today, or whatever mm-hmm. that is. But it's these moments where you kind of realize, man, the work we're doing as parents and the work we're doing as educators really matters, and that partnership matters for the sake of these children. As they go through that, they're really saying goodbye to childhood and going into adolescence. Mm-hmm. And I feel like there's rare moments that we get to kind of Ebenezer, to use the spiritual term, a moment in our lives where we're saying goodbye to something and hello to something new, without it being a physical relocation or a job move or something like that. And for these kids, it's really, we get to monument these moments and memorialize these moments for them. And sixth grade speeches is really cool to see.
Yeah. And I think these kids live in such a fast paced world. They're just going, and everything is quick, and they have this and they have that. So teaching them also to slow down for a time mm-hmm. and really kind of take the time to reflect, that is a beautiful lesson in and of itself. You know, really sit quietly and think about the people, mm-hmm. The lessons, the teachers, the friends, your parents, your siblings that have really spoken into your life. That is a hard skill in sixth grade. I mean, it is. It's a hard skill for adults. But taking the time to really reflect on these years is a wonderful thing that we, you know, teach them and ask of them. And it does. It turns out a really sweet time of hearing, you know, what they came up with, you know, from their years at Kirk Day School.
Other things that we do, fourth grade goes to Jeff City every year.
Yep.
That's
so
a fun
great.
You used to do that.
I did.
As a fourth grade teacher. I got to go this year. This is my second time to go to Jeff City. It is a fun day, and it is a full day.
It's a full day.
Yeah.
It is a full day.
But they get a good baptism of government.
That's right.
In a really cool way.
They've been studying
Missouri history.
Yep.
They do a tour of the Capitol. They do sometimes they'll do a tour of the governor's mansion. They get to have lunch in a park that's just Governor Gardens, which is a really beautiful
park. It's
like
his yard, the governor mansion, the governor's mansion's yard.
They go to Central Dairy and get
really
way more ice cream than they need.
Yep.
I was like, oh, bring $3 and you get ice cream. Okay, cool. And then I saw how much my son got, and I was like, oh,
it's a deal.
Somebody will not be having dessert tonight.
Right.
Very
good too.
It's not the typical cup with like the you know, wooden spoon thing that they give
no,
you.
No, it's a good little helping.
And then they go to the Supreme Court. And okay, real quick, this is really interesting. So Miss Roberts and Miss Carter mm-hmm. in our ESS program, they had been doing some Missouri history, and they kept saying, old drum, old drum. Did you know about this? This is fascinating to me. Okay, here's where the trivia nerd comes out. So in the Supreme Court building in the state of Missouri, in Jeff City, they have a bust of a dog. It's a bronze bust. And the dog's name was Old Drum. And basically, Old Drum was a farm dog, and a sheep farmer in the farm next to them, the sheep left the farm. Old Drum was protecting their farm, killed the sheep. The owner of the sheep goes in, kills the dog, and it goes to court, and it becomes this famous trial. And it's in this trial.
Oh, I know exactly where the dog is.
Yes.
And everyone rubs his nose.
Yes, everybody rubs the nose.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
But I didn't know this, but in the trial, they call it a eulogy for a dog. In the closing arguments, the defender of the attorney that was for the Old Drum's owner coined the phrase man's best friend. And he said, your family can be upset with you, friends will be upset with you, but your dog will never leave you, for he's man's best friend. And it won the case for this owner of the dog.
Wow.
Really fascinating. There's more details. I probably butchered some of it, but that was a whole thing. And so like Mrs. Roberts and Miss Carter, their kids were all about it. And so they kind of told us all, it was awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. I remember now that you're saying that, we do see the dog. It's up there. It's up there kind of near like there's a robe.
Yeah.
It's kind of displayed next to it.
Formal robes. And
Yeah. But I don't think they've ever told us that story. I think they've just said,
it was one. It's one of those little things like
that's neat.
It's like that Americana type of stuff.
Yeah,
that like
I
you
like
can kind of stick in your pocket and move on. Yeah, it was
I like
great.
That. Cool.
A couple other things. So today our sixth graders are going around announcing Highlander game teams.
Yes.
People wonder, why do we have the Highlander games the way they are? And I'm going to take just a moment and give you a very, very quick history of this. When I arrived at Kirk Day School, I heard a couple of things. Number one, you have to change field day. And number two, we hate the blue-green, or we love the blue-green system. So we had team blue, team green. If you were in a family, you were on it. And so if you had like some super athletic family, the entire family would then be on the green team.
Yeah.
And the blue team was all rolling their eyes because they were going to lose field day for the next 8 years or whatever it was. So
okay.
I got a lot of feedback on that.
I've never even heard this. So this is education for me too.
So actually there was a family, I think a family of a current board member and the sons who had graduated KDS at already were like, yeah, we're never giving to KDS because they got rid of they were in high school. So because they got rid of blue green. But what we decided to do years ago was try to give some ownership to our sixth graders with the Highlander games. And so we let them choose the dress up days for Spirit Week. But we split them into three teams. Number one, we really wanted just to kind of take off the intensity of win or lose. And really, yeah, we still want kids to win. I fully believe in that. I do not believe in everybody gets a trophy. If you have beef with that, see me later. But that being said, when it comes to field day, I do think it's good to have a little bit of the pressure off on that sense. But we split them into three teams. So the kids that year, this was my first year, so this is a spring of 2016, we had the sixth graders choose three different clans from Scotland and names that correlated with a color and names that upheld character traits
Wait, that was your first year here?
Yeah.
That is a big deal.
Yeah, and so
I did not know that.
And we have three colors. We have light blue, we have red, and yellow. And if you have ever seen the Scottish flag, you'll know it's the cross of St. Andrew, which is like an X on blue. But then there's the Royal Scottish flag, which is yellow with a red lion on it, and it has a blue tongue and blue eyes.
Do you want to share the Scottish connection to our school?
Well, yeah, and for those most people know, our mascot is a Highlander, and our name is Kirk Day School.
And Kirk
and means church.
In Scottish.
And so, in Scottish. And so, there's actually an old Disney movie that takes place in Edinburgh. It's about a dog who wouldn't leave his owner's gravesite. Bobby something, I'm forgetting it right now. But the whole thing is about the Kirkyard, and they're saying churchyard.
Right.
And so Kirk means church, right?
Which I didn't know until I took this job this year. Yeah.
Oh, this year?
This year, I did not
I thought you meant until you were here.
No.
Oh, so Stacy Kirk means church.
I know. And, yeah. Well, I know that now. I say it in all my tours.
Yeah, and so we're the Highlanders, which is kind of like Scottish warrior, which, you know, it doesn't really roll off the tongue at a sporting event, Highlander, but, you know, we're working on it. But it's still unique, and so we want to keep that real Scottish theme, and that's why we call it the Highlander Games and everything. And so we have our three houses, Lundeen, which is the yellow house, McFarland, which is the red house, and Kinnear, which is the blue house. And, you know, the goal is to give our kids some ownership, to have fun, and also we have really two prizes that day. We have the winner of the Highlander Games. We also have the Pitzer Prize. And it was really important to me to find a way to really establish something that Sue held dear, and that was sportsmanship. Mm-hmm. If you know anything about the Pitzer family, Sue's husband, Lowell, was huge in the basketball world, especially over at Missouri Baptist. That's what brought him here. He was a basketball coach over there for a long time, and he still has all these coaching ties. But they want to see us display Jesus in sportsmanship. And so we always follow that, and teachers are keeping tally of that. Not to dissuade children from doing anything proper, but the idea is, how are we aiming high? How are we holding high a goal for them to ascend to? And so we take a moment every year and we pause and give out the Pitzer Prize, and which is a really cool thing. The other thing is your kids aren't going to be on the same team every year. Some years it's going to be yellow, some years it's going to be blue and red. But the goal is to mix it up so that it's not this, you know, perennial thing.
Yes.
We memorialize it with the trophies. We say who wins every year and we get that engraved, and we want to keep that fun. But the idea is to make sure that we kind of keep that going, but keep those Scottish traditions fun. We have the Piper that comes,
mm-hmm.
And Laura comes every year. She comes for the Highlander game. She comes usually for first day of school, and she always comes for graduation.
That's right.
So just a couple of other things, but anything else you think we should hit? Right, we're running out of time, which is why I'm asking.
Oh, for end of the year.
Yeah.
Graduation, you mentioned that.
Graduation is really sweet. It is more of a graduation ceremony. And so there's a processional and recessional.
Yeah,
we have the Piper.
Beautiful.
And it's really cool.
Yeah, I will especially cry this year because my last child is graduating Kirk Day School, but I cry almost every year because I'm a crier. But it's sweet. It's a sweet time to say goodbye to a class of kids, and many of whom we've known since they were little.
And this is my first class to go all the way from preschool through sixth grade.
So this is a big deal.
It's a big deal. I'm going to miss these guys.
Yeah, even
the knuckleheads.
It's a good little class this year.
They're
all really good. But so I think you hit it all. We've got fun things going on in the month of May and closing out the school year. And we'll say goodbye to this year and hit the ground running the next week, preparing for next year.
It's so true. I mean, seriously. Folks wonder, what do we do in the summer? And it is, we spend a couple weeks really like putting a bow on this year. And so that's everything from, you know, tidying up student folders and curriculum and books and kind of doing inventory, shutting down classrooms, moving furniture around. And then it is full steam ahead for next year.
I just can't wait. I love it.
And it's a lot of planning. And so it's a fun time of year. But for those listening, thank you so much for listening. Thank you for supporting us in this awesome endeavor that we get to partner with parents. And a lot's happened this year. A lot's still going to be happening. And so we thank you so much for all that you guys are doing. And hopefully we'll be doing a lot more podcasts soon.
Yeah.
So,
all righty.